الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed his signs in everything around us. And literally, the one who reflects is the one who sees his signs. In fact, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, no matter who you're with, no matter what you're doing, in some way, shape, or form, the signs, the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are present. And actually, it's the wise believer who takes heed of what's going on around them and uses their circumstances to highlight principles of the deen. This is actually the way by which the deen is established in the heart. It's a very active effort. You constantly look around you and constantly try to learn, extrapolate, and emphasize the lessons of the deen as you go through life. Now that's done whether you're at work or whether you're at play. For example, if you go to an amusement park, at the amusement park there's so many different rides. One of the rides, which ironically happens to have the shortest line, is that ride where there's this car. You'll see maybe there's like 20 or 30 cars, and there's very lengthy track that goes, you know, maybe 2 miles around, a mile and a half around. And what happens is you sit in that car, and there's a track. It's just a thin sort of metal rod that runs along and forms a track. And you sit in that car, and you step on the accelerator, and you can drive the car around the track. It's actually a children's ride. Now, what happens is you step on the accelerator, and as you step on the accelerator, you have the ability to steer the car. And as you're steering the car, you can turn to the right and you can turn to the left, but you have to follow the track. Now, if you go and watch people, I'm sure that most of you can imagine this ride because either you've been on it before or you've seen other people ride on it before, or even just the description can make it clear in your mind. But if you go and actually just observe people on that ride, you see two groups of people. So there's one group of person, they are very carefully watching the track ahead of them. So you see that they have the steering wheel in their hand, and they look ahead and they look at the track in front of them, and as the track moves, they move. So you'll see that the track is moving a little bit to the left, they steer a little bit to the left. The track is moving a little bit to the right, they steer a little bit to the right. As far as the track goes, they remain right on that track and they go along with that track. So that's one group of people, and that's the vast majority of the people. But it's a children's ride. So in the end, children are going to ride it. So what happens is once in a while you get this child. The child doesn't understand that this track is actually restricted. The child thinks that I'm in control. So the child takes the steering wheel, and the child will force the car into these different directions, and the only thing that happens is the car begins to jerk because it's running along the track, and you can't make it go in the direction that you want it to go. It's going to go along the direction of the track because that's the way it's designed. It's a very simplistic model. You can only go the way the ride is designed to go. So what happens, you'll see this child, the child will steer the wheel all the way to the right. And the car will be facing a little bit towards the right, but it'll be bumping along and still going in a straight line because that's the way the track was designed. Now, what's interesting is that actually that whole setup is just a mini model of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for each person in this room has created a destiny. That destiny is your track. Now what you do is you press on the accelerator, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happens to give you a little bit of control over the steering. But in the end, you still have to follow the track. you may want to go this way, and your track may be this way, and no matter how much you try to turn this way, your car is still going to go straight. Because you're not really in control. It seems like you're in control, and it feels like you're in control, but if you come to a certain degree of maturity, you begin to recognize that actually you're not really in control. And now, the mature person, the physically, intellectually mature person, when they ride this ride at the amusement park, they know that they can only go in the direction of the car. So why are they going to turn the car to the right when the track is going straight? It doesn't make any sense. The car is going to go straight anyway. So you see that they are very mature. Intellectually, they're mature. Their eyes are mature. Their minds are mature. Physically, they're mature. And so they know that the easiest way to enjoy the ride is to press on the accelerator and to just go along with that track. They don't have any question in their mind. So in the same way, we have two people in life, right? You have sort of the immature and the mature who ride that ride. In the same way, there are two people who approach the vehicle of life in that way. Now, there's one group of people, they're mature. They recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually the true doer of everything. Actually, that's the way the world really is. Allah is the true doer. Whether we pick it up or not, Allah is the one who does everything. The fact that you're sitting in this gathering right now is by the will of Allah. If Allah did not intend you to be here, there is no way you would have been able to bring the body, which is your vehicle, which is your car, over here. It's impossible. Allah had to will you to be here in order for you to be here. So, one group of people, they recognize this. And this is the way by which they approach life. They recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one in control. So number one, they sit back and they enjoy the ride. Right? And that's called Islam. Islam means what? Peace through submission. Peace, not just peace. Peace through submission. Meaning you've submitted to the track. You understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one in control. You understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the fa'il haqiqi, the true doer of everything, and that all actions originate from Him. When you submit to that, you recognize that if something good comes to you, it comes from Allah. If something bad comes to you, it comes from Allah. If this happens to you, it was destined to you by Allah. You can only achieve what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the tawfiq to achieve. Then you've become somebody who's a Muslim, meaning you've submitted your body to this vehicle, you've submitted your body to this track, and you simply you understand that you have to stay within the boundaries of this track. There's another group of people. They're very immature, spiritually that is. Now they try to turn their life in ways in which it's not supposed to go. And I'll tell you that even the person who attempts to become a Muslim still makes this mistake. And this comes up in many different aspects of our life. And I'll give you examples from just simple examples to the most extreme example. I mean, take the extremity. There's a brother, there's a sister. One of them decides that they want to go study the deen. Okay, let's say there's a brother, he decides he wants to go study the deen. So now he's decided that not only do I want to study the deen, I want to study the deen in Damascus. All right? But there's no way, shape, or form for him to get to Damascus. His parents, they don't want him to go. He's in debt, he doesn't have the money, he doesn't have the proper training. But he says, no, I want to study in Damascus because he's determined that that's the best path for his life, right? So now you'll see these people all the time. They force themselves, they force their car on that track, right? So what do? It's not meant for them to be there because their circumstances were not set for them to be there. But then they force themselves, so they start making all these wild plans, right? They're fighting their parents. They're fighting their spouse, it might be. They're fighting their environment, and they force themselves to go. Now, what they don't recognize is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may give them a little bit of leeway. Now, Allah's track is a little bit wider than the one at the ride. The one at the ride, you turn to the right, it gives you a little bit of edge to go to the right. Eventually, it catches the car and keeps it going straight. So it may be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow the person enough wus'ah, enough width on that track to end up in Syria. But what happens? Within a month or two, the car ends up going back this way and they come back home. I'll tell you, that's my experience. Now, when I went to go study in Damascus, I mean, there were hundreds of people showing up there. Hundreds of people showing up there without any preparation, right? The circumstances weren't right. But they, in their minds, had decided for themselves that I'm just going to be here and that's it. Whether it's the best thing for me Islamically or whether it's not the best thing, I want to do this, right? It became an I issue. It didn't become, where does Allah want me? I want to be there, so I'm going to be there. So they get there. And within a few weeks, they were back in the States for some reason or another. And that was because they tried to steer their car too much off the track. And it happens not only in the issue of trying to gain knowledge, it happens in the issue of marriage as well. You'll see a brother and a sister, they want to get married, right? The situation totally doesn't permit it. The parents are totally against it, etc. And so what do? They decide that, no, I want this, right? They're not going to worry about where the track is leading them. They just said, I want this. So what ends up happening? They start steering the car in that direction, and eventually they start having a very bumpy ride, because when they hit that track and they're still steered to the right-hand side, the car starts bumping. And all of us can find these examples in our life. We all find this example where we want to do something and it just doesn't fit at that particular juncture. But in our minds, we get this idea and then we assume that that's the way we need to take our lives. What the better option is to actually sit down and think, where does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's track take me? Let me submit to that and let me be grateful for wherever He places me. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have lofty intentions. The intentions are to be lofty, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may answer them or He may not answer them. That's why the deen is rewarded on intention. So you make all the intentions you can. Make the intention to study in every major city in the world and to study every major book of the deen. That's great. That is actually what we should be doing. But then let the vehicle go in the direction that it's supposed to go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not take you one day from ignorance and the next day into the bliss of knowledge. There are steps that arise. You have to first make the proper sacrifices. You have to first gain a basic amount of knowledge. You have to save up a little bit of money. You have to look at your circumstance and see whether it permits you to perhaps go abroad or perhaps to study locally. Rather than just creating one option and one option alone, which is I have to be in this institute at this place at this time, recognize that there are many options. And let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala slowly steer your car in the direction that it's supposed to go. It makes life that much more enjoyable. And it makes your situation that much more peaceful. Now, this doesn't only apply to it doesn't only apply to things that you desire, but it also applies to one's spiritual development as well. You'll see that somebody desires to be at point Z, they happen to be sitting at point A, and then they assume that they have to be at point Z the next day. But that's not the goal. You make the niyyah for point Z instantaneously. Then I'm currently on level 1, I want to be on level 21. That niyyah is made in a moment. But to get to level 21 may take 10 years. The point is that you be on the track that leads you to level 21. That's the goal. So we don't force issues. Now, you know, we try to force many things. For example, somebody says, well, I'm going to wake up for tahajjud no matter what. So what do? They set up 5 alarm clocks. They bring the newest CD from Mecca. One's with the newest adhan from Mecca. The other one's from the newest adhan from Medina. The third one's from the newest adhan from Jerusalem. Right? And they're set so that every 3 minutes the next one goes off. You would think the person is going to have the deepest tahajjud in the history of the world because it's totally decked out, right? They got all these adhans waking them up. Who knows where the next step is going to be? But what happens? People just end up sleeping through those, right? Because they're not ready for that. There's steps that occur in between. There's some changes that have to be made. There's some sins that have to be left. There's some development that has to occur. You don't just all of a sudden get up and you're automatically on the 31st level. Right? There are things that occur stepwise, and what you have to recognize is that your niyyah for that is, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wake me up every single night, but this is actually a progression that takes time. And it's all about going on this track. Now, what's interesting is that if you go to a ride that's a little more complex, right, the simple ones, that's just the standard carnival, you have to just go along the track. You don't have very many choices. But actually, if you go once to a little bit more complex of a ride, sometimes they give you the choice to jump the track and to take another track. Right? And those are the main junctions that arise in anyone's life. I'll tell you, basically, your life boils down to about 10 decisions. You'd make a lot of independent decisions along a particular track, but everybody in life makes about 10 major decisions that determine which track they're on. So and one of those decisions will arise when you decide, where do I want to commit myself? Where do I want to spend my time? Where am I going to make my sacrifices, etc.? And these are the times when you have the option to jump a track. But regardless, the point is to recognize that actually it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone who's in control. So why not be pleased with what He destines for an individual? It's ironic. The individual can set 30 alarms for tahajjud, right? And make all the lofty niyas in the world that I am going to wake up for tahajjud. And guess what? I never wakes up. But another individual could set no alarms, and he could sit down and say, oh Allah, you wake me up for tahajjud. I'm on your track. I have no control except where you allow me to go. I have no ability to wake up except if you permit me to wake up. I have no ability to change except that you give me the tawfiq to change. So Ya Allah, when you deem fit, and at the time that is best for my development, I beg and ask you that you open the door for this deed. And you'll see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the door in the most unique way for those types of people. Because it's a type of submission. It's just one more level of submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it really behooves us to recognize and understand this reality of life. And actually this is what we call Islam. To recognize that you're on a track, that you're not really in control, that tawfiq comes from Allah, and that removal of that tawfiq is also from Allah. So you focus on Allah. Now, there are occasions where you can change your track. And those, but those come through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His permission alone. So, and that comes through dua. You make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the door to changing the track. You make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow you to enter upon the next track. And then that tawfiq arises. But it's only through Allah. Some people, see, in this day and age, we're so taught that if you want to change something, you change it. Right? So you want to become a physician, so you go to medical school. You want to get a higher grade, so you go and register for this particular class or this particular professor. So we're taught about all this, I do and this is the result. I do this and this is the result. Actually, the reality of the world is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control. And all of life is to teach you that. You may learn it when you're young, and then it makes life that much more pleasurable to live. Or you're going to eventually learn it when you're old. When you're 60 and you recognize that all the things that you thought you were doing, actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was just guiding you along the way. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to recognize that we're actually on a track, to be submissive and pleased with the track upon which He places us, and to give us tawfiq to be upon the track which is the track of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions, the tabi'een, the tabi' tabi'een, and the righteous people who followed them. وآخر الدعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين